Testing. There it is. Wow, that singing was really beautiful tonight. Up here on the front row, it was incredible. You guys have beautiful voices. I want to thank Ray for giving me the opportunity to speak to you tonight. And I want to thank these guys who helped me out, read for me, and led prayer for me. They're all good friends of mine. The two guys who have helped me out so far are people I've known since I started learning how to read. And the guy who's going to lead prayer for me here in just a few minutes is one of my good friends that I've met here at Fried Hardeman. Tonight we're going to be reading a lot of scripture. Because I don't want what you hear tonight to be my opinions. I want it to be the Word of God. I want it to be God's message. And I could stand up here all day and interpret scripture the way I think it should be interpreted. But that's not what matters. It's what God says that matters. And so we're going to be reading a lot of scripture tonight. Before we start, pray with me for just a minute. God, thank you so much for the grace you give us every day. Thank you for your mercy and your love. And right now, I ask that you help us all to spend the next few minutes devoting our hearts and minds to your word and your message. Please use me and allow your word to be spoken through me tonight and help us all to learn something that can help us grow stronger as Christians. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What does it mean to be worthy of something? I spent a few minutes thinking about this as I was preparing for my lesson tonight, and one of the things that I really thought about was what a syllabus is. And the syllabus is what we have for all of our classes, especially at Fried Hardeman. All of our teachers on the first day of class will give us a syllabus, and that syllabus will outline what's expected of us in that class, and it will list the assignments that are going to be due and the grades that you have to make to get certain letter grades. I'm going to come back to that analogy at the end of the lesson because I think there is a good way and a bad way that it can be applied to interpreting Scripture. Tonight, we're going to be using the Bible to answer the question, what does it mean to live a life worthy of the calling to which we have been called as described by Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, which we read just a minute ago? The first point I want to talk about tonight is that a worthy life demonstrates humility. Grab your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, we'll be reading verses 9 through 14. He also told them this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Pharisee in this story was not humble, and therefore he was not justified in the eyes of God. Whereas the tax collector did show humility, and because of that, he was justified in God's eyes. You know, we may not pray this way. This is a story a lot of us have heard. And so we understand that it's bad to say, God, I thank you that I'm not like that guy. But do we ever think that way? Do we ever live our own lives and think, yeah, I've done some bad stuff. I should probably get this and this straightened out. But at least I'm not as bad as that guy over there. Look at what he's done. And we can make ourselves feel complacent with where we are in life, with the sins that are in our lives, because we are comparing ourselves to the people around us. And that's not okay. Sin is not okay no matter of how much sin the person next to us has. Even Jesus, who is the human manifestation of God himself, was a humble servant. When the mother of James and John asked Jesus if her sons could sit at his sides in the kingdom, Jesus said in Matthew 20, verses 26 to 28, whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. If we are to be like Jesus, then we too must be humble. We've got to admit our weaknesses and put ourselves before others. Because if the God of the universe can lower himself to washing somebody's feet and putting others' needs before his own, then we should be able to do the same. So my first challenge for you tonight is to look at your life and admit that you are a sinner and that you need God's grace. And recognize your weaknesses. And then don't be afraid to lean on your church family and to lean on God for help. We're all sinners. Remember to be humble. My second point tonight, following the text in Ephesians chapter 4, is that a worthy life shows gentleness. Turn with me to James chapter 1, verses 19 to 20. James 1, 19 to 20. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Gentleness. A worthy life is one in which we are slow to anger. Jesus was the gentle shepherd, and if we're going to live like Jesus, then we too must be gentle. So that's my second challenge for you tonight. Be slow to anger and careful with your words. Be gentle in your interactions with other people. Nextly, a worthy life shows patience. Patience is really hard to have in our culture because we live in a culture that is built around having fast internet and fast food and fast cars and fast money, and doing anything that takes time and effort is hard to do. I remember J.G. Wentworth used to have these commercials that come on TV where they have people leaning out their windows and screaming in the streets, "It's my money and I need it now." My mother used to grab the remote and mute the TV when those commercials came on because she didn't want me and Emily to hear that. Because that is not the mindset that anybody should have. Because the truth is, some things are not ours, some things are worth working for, and Satan uses that mindset to his advantage. He can make us think, a whole lifetime serving God, that's not worth it. That's way too long. And so people will fall away from serving God because they can't see how patiently waiting for heaven is worth their while. In Galatians 6 and verse 9, Paul urges, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Walking the Christian walk every day in a world where Satan is tempting us at every turn can be so difficult. But the eternity in heaven is far more wonderful and far more important than any pleasures this world can offer us. So my next challenge to you tonight is don't give up on living righteously, because heaven will be so much worth our while. My next point is that a worthy life is full of love for man and for God. This is at the center of what it means to live a worthy life. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. We read in Genesis 1 that God created man in his own image. So if we love God, we will love the human race that he has created. And if we love the human race that he has created, if we love people and can understand the love that God has for those people, we will want those people to be saved through the blood of Jesus. And if we want mankind to be saved through the blood of Jesus, then we will be lights in the world sharing God's light through humility and gentleness and patience. It all ties together. You know, sometimes I think we think about the Bible as a big, complex set of rules, and it's got 3,000 pages, and every page is full of all these things I have to do. And Satan can make us take that and say, well, that's too much. I can't worry about keeping up with it all. But if we start at the top with God's love and with the love that we should return to God, all the rest of it is going to fall into place. Because all these commands that God gives us can all be summed up in this command right here, to love God, and under God, to love your neighbor. It all comes together. Are you showing love for the people around you? And are you showing love for your God? My next challenge for you tonight is to show love for God by showing love to the people in your life through your actions and through sharing the gospel with the people you see each and every day. My next point is that a life that is worthy of heaven cannot be earned. We've talked about what it means to live like God wants us to live, but the truth is, no matter how well we live, we will never be able to earn our way into heaven. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23. We've all made mistakes, and because of that, we can never do enough good deeds to earn our way into heaven. We can do good deed after good deed for the rest of our lives, but the truth is, we will never do enough good deeds to cancel out the sins that we've committed, and we've all committed them. Going back to the syllabus that I was talking about earlier, if we treat the Bible like a syllabus, the truth is we can never do enough to earn a passing grade into heaven. We can never do enough good deeds. We can never rake enough houses for people who rake enough leaves out of people's yards, these types of youth group activities that we do. We can't do enough good deeds to earn our way into heaven, because the standard of God's grace is something we can't earn because we're human and we make mistakes. But fortunately for us, God knew that. There's a story that I've heard several times before, and you may have heard it too, about a little boy. One day he made this model sailboat, and he loved the sailboat, and so he took it out and he was playing with it and set it out on the pond, and it started to float away from him. And before he knew it, the wind had taken it all the way across the pond. He couldn't see it, and it was gone. And the boy was really upset, but he knew he wouldn't be able to get it back there, so he left. And the next day, he was walking down the street in his hometown, and he passed a pawn shop. And he looked in the window of that pawn shop, and there in the window of that pawn shop was his boat, and he got so excited. And he went inside and told the pawn shop owner, "That's my boat. Can I have it back?" And the owner said, "Sorry. Another little boy brought it in this morning. I bought it off of him, and it's mine now. If you want it, you're going to have to buy it." And so the little boy reached in his pocket and pulled out all the cash he had. He gave it to the pawn shop owner. And so as he was taking the boat home, he smiled. And he looked down at the boat and he said, "I made you and I bought you. You're twice mine." That's the love that God has shown for us. He created us, and then the very first generation of man turns around and breaks the simple rules that God has given. And God could have completely given up on man, never had anything to do with us again, but he didn't do that. Man continued to sin, and rather than give up on us, God sent us Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross for us and was raised from the dead so that we can have our sins washed away through baptism. God made us, and he bought us back from the clutches of sin. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Ladies and gentlemen, the only way to be worthy of heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because if we treat salvation as a set of rules and a syllabus that we have to follow, you do all these good things and you get into heaven, we're all making F because we've all sinned and there's nothing else we can do about it. But God is offering us this infinite amount of extra credit that we don't deserve. God is giving us a chance to have all of those sins washed away, to have a clean slate in the blood of Jesus. I want you to imagine with me for just a minute. We're going to create a fictional scenario in our minds. We're going to put time on fast forward. We're going to fast forward to the end of your days after you've lived a long, full life. And I want you to imagine that it's the day you died. So you just died, and now you open your eyes, and you realize that you're standing in the afterlife. You died and you're standing in the afterlife. And you look down in front of you and there's this great chasm. This huge gorge that no man can cross. And you look across to the other side of the chasm and you see yourself standing there. So there are two yous and there's one standing on each side of the chasm. The two versions of yourself that we're thinking about right now represent two possible futures that you have. The two futures started out the same. And both stories were the same up until September 14th, 2014, in the worship service on a Sunday night at the Henderson Church of Christ at 5:40 p.m. In both scenarios, the story happened exactly as your life has happened so far. But tonight is where these two scenarios diverge. In one scenario, I finish my lesson, I offer the invitation. You stand up and sing the invitation song like we always do. It's just motions to you. You leave church, go to bed, and when you get up in the morning, you live your life as if Christ was never a part of it. The people around you never see Christ loving you, and even though they are lost, they never hear the good news of the gospel because you never mentioned it to them. God gives you opportunities everywhere to change the way you live and to tell others about the good news of the gospel, but you ignore his pleading. And when your chapter of life closes, you die in your sins outside of the blood of Christ. In the second scenario, you leave this building with your heart right with God, ready to serve him, eager to tell the people you meet about the incredible gift of salvation that you've received through the blood of Christ. Even though you were once a sinner, you aren't a sinner anymore in the eyes of God because you turned your back on those sins and had them washed away through baptism into Jesus. You take the opportunities that God gives you and you let God use you to take those opportunities and grow the church and to spread the message of God's grace. At the end of your days, you die knowing that you have pleased the Lord because you accepted Paul's plea in Ephesians chapter 4 to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now I want you to take these two scenarios and come back to tonight, because tonight you have a chance to choose where you are going with the rest of your life. Obviously, these scenarios don't exactly fit your life. It's just two scenarios designed to make you think. If you died tonight, where would you go? Which side of that great chasm would you be stuck on? Think about it. Maybe you're here tonight and you know that you've been living, that you have accepted God's grace, and that if you died tonight, you would go to heaven. It's okay to know that. It doesn't mean you're not a sinner. It means that you've had your sins washed away, and that even though you're not perfect, you are striving each and every day to live the way that God wants you to live. But maybe you're here tonight and you know that you have not been pleasing God. You haven't been living the way that God has asked you to live. You may or may not have accepted God's grace through baptism, but it doesn't really affect the way you live now because you still live in sin each and every day. And you don't share the gospel with anybody that you meet. You aren't bearing fruit for the kingdom. Think about your own life. Do you need prayers? Do you need to be baptized? Tonight is a chance for you to make a change. If you need a change in your life, we've got the water ready. We will wash away your sins tonight if you need to be baptized. Or maybe you have been baptized, but you've been living in sin and you haven't been doing what God has asked us to do. And if that's the case tonight, we would love to pray for you. We would love for you to come forward and to pray for you, for your sins to be forgiven, and to strengthen you as your family in Christ. If you have a need, don't wait. Make your life right with God tonight. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and sing this song together.